The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to episode 191 of Costa Rica Real Estate and Investments with me, your host, Richard Bexon. Today, we're going to be talking with Andres Murillo. He heads up the Guanacaste office for Two Costa Rica Real Estate in Grande, Tamarindo, Negra, and Avianas, plus many of the other Guanacaste beach towns. If you remember, we had him on probably about 7-8 months ago, where we talked about kind of beach towns to invest in over the next 5 to 10 years. It was one of the most popular podcasts, so I thought I'd get him back on here and see if we could do a part two and get a bit of an update of where the market is. Andres is a Tico, as you'll see, loves to surf. And if there's anything that, you know, we know about real estate and tourism, that surf usually kind of makes a great location for investment. So it's going to be great to chat to him about that, as he surfs the whole coast. Guys, exciting news on this side. On April the 24th at 5 p.m. Eastern time, we're actually going to be doing a free webinar. If you'd like to sign up for that free webinar, you can do. Just jump over to our website, sign up for our newsletter, and we will send that out. If not, just send us an email, info@investingcostarica.com, info@investingcostarica.com, and we will send the link across to basically sign up. We'll also have it on our website, investingcostarica.com, investingcostarica.com. It's a free seminar, guys. We've got Paola Rentana. She's a real estate lawyer who we've had on here. I'm going to be talking more kind of about data and trends, what's happening in beach towns, good investments, and things where there's just opportunity. While Paola kind of, I suppose, keeps me on the straight and narrow, as most lawyers do. But no, she'll be talking kind of more about the legal aspects of investing in real estate here, things to bear in mind, corporate structures, those kind of things. So it's probably going to be about a 30 to 45 minute seminar, very similar to a podcast. There'll be a Q&A session there as well. And it's just the ability for you to kind of chat with us live and listen to us live. It's going to be very interactive. And I'll have a bunch of data there for you guys as well to see. On beach towns, also mountain towns, just where's area of good investments. And just again, as I mentioned, there are trends that we're also seeing here in Costa Rica as well. So you can, again, sign up for our newsletter, info@investingcostarica.com. Go to the website, investingcostarica.com. In the bottom of the footer, you'll see it there. If you stay on the website for probably about 30 seconds, it'll pop up. But it'd be lovely to see a lot of you listeners come on there, even if it's just to kind of listen live as we kind of have a webinar. I suppose it's more like a live podcast to an extent with Q&A. But anyway, let's get straight into the podcast. Good afternoon, Andres. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Not at all. It's a pleasure to get you on here. As I think I mentioned in the introduction and also mentioned to you, I mean, I think it was one of the top 10 podcasts was the last one that we did. So how could we not get you back on?
Oh, thank you so much, man. It was such a fun time, and hopefully we can keep doing this.
I'm sure. Well, the first question I like to always get and ask is kind of just a bit of an idea of kind of what's happening in the market. You know, economically, things appear to have kind of stabilized a little bit. You know, real estate is still slow in the US. You know, with an interest rates, I mean, who knows where they're going? You know, there was an indication today that maybe they might not change. But anyway, I mean, what are you seeing happening here in Costa Rica, Andres?
Well, it's very interesting. Definitely, we have seen a decrease in the demand of the houses, right? The amount of people. Of course, we had the COVID season, and you know, people was going crazy over Costa Rica and the flights, and we're one of the few countries that was open, so that helped us a lot. Plus, you know, real estate boom everywhere. I've seen a definitely, it's been slowing down a little bit, I'll say. And same thing for the prices. There has been an adjustment in the prices as well. Still, they're still high. I'm not saying prices are going back to 2019, but you know, I wouldn't say prices are as strong, or sellers are staying in their prices as strong as they were. Yep. In the last couple of years. It's very interesting. It also changes a lot between areas. Whether you're looking, I don't know if you know about this, but our Two Costa Rica real estate office just opened up in Nosara as well. Yep. So we are tapping that market as well, slowly but surely. And so we're able to compare a lot of what's going on in all the coast, up north as Coco, Tamarindo, or what we call the Tamarindo area, which is just south of Coco and and all the way to Marbella, maybe, and then from Ostional on, we consider that like the Nosara area, and then you have Santa Teresa and so on. So yeah, we're able to compare and see what's going on, and definitely there's markets that have stayed stronger than others for several reasons. You can call it maturity most of the times, but variety is another reason. I'll say that's what we're seeing generally across the board. Of course, you know, there's the high-end market for some reason staying pretty robust. We've seen, you know, the bigger developments as Peninsula Papagayo or even Discoveryland that have been having, you know, pretty crazy sales, which are, you know, it's just out of the books. You know, it's something you cannot come up with. But yeah, those are different levels.
I was chatting with the guys over at Peninsula Papagayo actually this morning, and like, you know, their cheapest lot at like $2.8 million. You know, they've got brand new lots from $3.1 million, and that's just the lot, you know, plus, you know, it's you've got to pay $100,000 for its membership fees, where you get 80% of that back, 30k a year just in dues, and like your guests can't use it, it's only for you and your family. Like, there are some restrictions, but It's a different playing field up there for sure in Peninsula Papagayo and Discovery.
It is. And the returns are really high. I just recently, I have some really good clients who've been buying with property with me. They did two purchases, acquisitions recently. Yep. Everything is to increase their real estate portfolio in Costa Rica. And they purchased three lots in Peninsula Papagayo for just under $5 million.
Wow.
But they're ocean view, of course, and, you know, everything. They're really close to the new sports center that's being built. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But, you know, quick numbers. I mean, they're gonna put, you know, let's call it the most expensive lot was 1.8. They're going to put a $3 million house in there. They can sell for 12. You know, so math in those numbers, it works very differently. And then they just purchased three more lots in Nosara with me, Ocean View, for just under $2 million, and they're gonna do the same math. Of course, the return wise is really high. Number wise is not so much. You know, we're talking top dollar in Peninsula, but yeah, definitely Peninsula has that specific attraction to the market, which is it's very different to everything else that we can see across the board in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, just comparing those two markets, you know, I mean, you know, Peninsula Papagayo, I think that once you've got, you know, your rental returns are not going to be what they are in Nosara. I think your rental returns are pretty big better, because in Nosara, you're not going to be as much on the land and probably the build either. But when it comes to resell, the ability when you resell is you will make a lot of more money on your Peninsula Papagayo when you exit than you would do probably in Nosara.
Oh, way, way better. So definitely you hit it right on the point. Rental, you know, from a if you want to keep the properties as a rental, I'll say your money is better off outside of a development like Peninsula. Yep. If you're thinking flipping, but for flipping, you know, you it's a considerable amount. We're talking $4 or $5 million.
Yep.
Right. It's a big investment, but you know, the overhead is on the winning side is really high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for you, I mean, what are the number one, what's number one, number two, and number three kind of beach town in Northern Guanacaste at the moment, would you say, and why?
Well, interesting enough, I got to stay with Tamarindo being one of the top still, even though it's so crowded. You know, everything around it, you know, the market itself is very mature compared to other beach towns. It has gone already to different cycles, right? Many ups and downs. Also, what's really good about it is that it has an advantage over the other towns, which is the variety. So you have condos in different price ranges, you have houses in different price ranges, you have houses in gated communities, outside of gated communities, etc. So just as a quick example, I just had a listing that I sold in less than 30 days. Tamarindo, center of town, short walk to the beach, checks all the boxes. Not such a big lot. It was a 400, I want to call it 430 square meters.
Yep.
with a 250 construction, square meter construction. And I just put it under contract. We're about to close. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
But just around 870. So, and it went, we had crazy showings, and that was under a month just to sell it. So, you know, you and I, we know that selling a property in here under a month in Costa Rica it's a pretty good mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'll say probably Tamarindo stays as one of the number one, just because the variety, the waves, what do you have around the services? I mean, just around Tamarindo area, you have plenty of schools. You can do public, you can do private, you can do, you know, U.S. Curriculum. You have all kinds of services, clinics, doctors. I mean, supermarkets, there's like five different chains. I mean, you name it. It's just too easy. Everything is paved. You know, it's just easy. Then I'll say, interesting enough, I gotta bring up Nosara, because even though it's one of the newest, not so new, but newest, I'll say, and right now I think they're hurting a little bit because they went up really so fast.
High, yeah.
They sell crazy. I mean, like all that close down to the beach, like that by K section and all of that is just madness how fast everything goes. So I'll say Nosara, I've seen a significant amount of growth in prices. I mean, it's just sometimes there you just cannot. I have no idea how they come up with their prices, but they sell.
Well, I mean, we're doing a house there, and I mean, you know, the lot, you know, is $1 million, dude. You know, it's a short walk from the beach. It's the you know, demand and supply. I mean, there is a lot of demand for that area just because, you know, it's in the minds, I think, of a lot of millionaires, you know, because there are billionaires there as well. But I mean, very, you know, 100 millionaires that come in and they just want that land and they don't care. They just want that lifestyle and that culture and that feeling that it's created, and they're willing to pay for it. You know, it's a very different client, of course, the Tamarindo and Peninsula Papagayo. But yeah, I mean, I don't see it slowing down because, you know, it's a demand and supply thing. And yeah, you can go further back up into the mountains and find cheaper land, but like walk to the beach. And that's why I'm always like, okay, Grande feels like Nosara, because, you know, Nosara was done in the 70s. Grande was done in the 80s. You know, and the waves are probably just as good, even though I'm not a surfer. So feel free to tell me about, you know, to be wrong on that one. Yeah. But like the DNA of Grande, you know, at land in Grande, you could still pick up for 250. It's $1 million in Nosara. Like, I still think there's a lot of runway in Grande to go.
Yeah. So that was going to be the number three. I've been really surprised with the growth in Playa Grande. Playa Grande has, well, you've seen it from close, but I mean, in 2021, at some point, I saw over close to 90 building permits in a month.
Yep.
It was madness. You know, the growth was very significant for the area, and you can see it. I mean, it's just growing a lot. So I'll say Grande is going to be one of the fastest moving beach towns at the moment. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the place is beautiful. You have, again, it checks all the boxes as well. You have short walk to the beach. What's beautiful about it, especially that where you are, which is, or where you built, which is in the Grande stage, which is really nice about it, is it's almost like its own neighborhood. You know, it's like just houses, walking distance to everything. You just go down the beach a couple of blocks and you're right there, you know, so it makes it really easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll stick those three for the northern area. Of course, I cannot include Peninsula. That's a completely different animal.
Yep.
And Discovery Land as well. But yeah, if we take those out, yeah.
So let's talk about like a 5-year time frame. I mean, which beach towns do you see developing the most over the next 5 years? I mean, there's some places which are just done. Like Tamarindo is not going to develop much more over the next 5 years, probably.
It can't. You know? I mean, there's nowhere to go.
So it's going to move north and south as it always does. Now, north is into Playa Grande, and I just don't know how much more can be done in Grande. I mean, there is a little bit more, but
yeah,
you know, and south we have Hacienda Pinilla and Navianas and Negra.
Exactly. So definitely, man, it's been crazy. So for example, now that you mentioned South, for Hacienda Pinilla, this is insane. So there's a new development that came up, I want to say at the very end of last year, which is Bosques de Pinilla. Those were 25 homes ranging anywhere from, I want to say they started at around high eights. And the highest price one was just around 1.1. There's five left right now. That's it. In Bosque de Pinilla. So they're like townhouses with their, you can have them built with their own pool, three, four bedrooms. Now, this is even crazier. So what's going on in Playa Avellanas? Avellanas, water came in, developers came in. We're talking, we have the point. That's 28 homes, 27 are sold. We have the enclave, 51 houses, 60% is sold. And then we have the new projects coming up, which are Ave Moana, which is 29 houses. Numandi, which you've probably seen that it's under construction right now, that's 80 homes, ranging 850,000 all the way to 1.2, I've seen. Ave Moana is more on the mid ranges. So I'll say, 649, that three bedroom, and seven, I want to call it 729, the four bedroom, which are going to be really nice. And then you have a new project coming up that is called Pochote Hills, that it's 81, 41 lots in condominium as well. Some with view, some with not a view, that in Avellanas. So just in the area of Avellanas, in gated communities, we're talking over 200 homes. So I don't know, to be honest, where you're gonna put so many people. But I mean, in the next 5 years, thinking of investment wise, it's gonna boom. What I like about it, to be honest, I mean, there's some definitely some houses that are single standing homes, which are nice. I also like the fact that gated communities kind of bring an order to everything. I'm not a huge fan of smaller lots compared to larger lots. I'm a big fan of parcelas agrícolas, agrarian parcels, just because you have acre and a quarter lots, a lot of space, a lot of nature. So it really feels like Costa Rica more authentic. That's just my personal taste. But that said, having gated communities allow a little bit more organized development versus Tamarindo, where you have everything and anything. So I think looking at it from a broad perspective, with these gated communities, some sort of significant value and organization design is going to come to the area, and it's going to be very large. It's going to be significant.
Well, I mean, look, I think people like gated communities because it's safe, but they can lock their door, they can go away and not worry about it. If it's a single home, like someone needs to keep an eye on it. So it's just a lot easier and people just feel safer. I mean, Costa Rica is a safe place. I mean, we do have, opportunistic petty crime here. But when you're in a gated community, it doesn't really happen that much because, I mean, as we all know, Costa Ricans are pretty relaxed, man, and even the criminals are pretty relaxed. They don't want to work too hard.
Yeah,
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
all right.
It makes it, yeah. It definitely, and especially thinking more of the type of buyer or the type of investor or the type of people looking only for lifestyle property at life from a lifestyle perspective, it's a lock in and leave it. You leave your house in a gated community, nobody's gonna come to it. You can probably have somebody come in and cleaning once or twice a week, make sure it gets dust off and the ACs are running and whatnot, and that's it. You don't have to worry about it too much. Not that you have to worry. I've been living in Avellanas for the last, I'll say probably about the last year. I've built a couple of houses in there, rentals and my own. And quite honestly, I'm surprised on how quiet, and they're not part of any gated communities. And I feel pretty safe in there. It's pretty quiet, pretty mellow. I'm pretty stoked to be there, actually. It's such a short walk to the beach, and just the beach is nice. It's beautiful.
Well, you guys have a great community there as well, though, in Avianas. Like everyone kind of, and there's a lot of long-term residents there as well. It's not as transient, you know, as like Tamarindo or some other areas.
Right.
So, I mean, look, it sounds like 5-year punt, guys, if you're doing it, Avianas. Now let's go a little bit further out. Let's go 10 to 20 years, Andreas. If you were to make a 10 to 20-year punt, where would you be looking?
Oh, that's a tough question, but I think what's going to happen is as we go, biggest towns, call it the Tamarindo area and the Nosada area, they're going to start, you know, getting close to each other, and probably that Marbella area, which is surprisingly so many developing in Ostional as well. I mean, you have in Ostional, you have Guanavista, which is a beautiful development. We've been working with them a little bit, and in Marbella, you have other gated communities that are slowly but surely they're growing up. So quite honestly, I don't see it that far. Huh? I think 10 years from now, everything will be really close together, paved roads and all.
So, I mean, it sounds like you'd be looking at punts on Junquiao, Marbella, Ostinão. I mean, Ostinão's pretty pricey as it is at the moment. I kind of feel that Nosada crowd has already kind of probably got there, if that makes sense. You know, it's already there. But I still think there's opportunity in Marbella, Junquiao, you know, all those areas. I was in Pattaya the other day, which is beautiful. I suppose those beaches south of Avianas and north of Ostinão.
And then I can see some interest going, you know, closer to like that Coyote area in the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I always say wherever the Ticos are going is wherever it's going to, like, it used to be Tamarindo, but it used to be Playas del Coco, and now that's done. You know, it was, you know, Jaco, that one's done. Like, you know, now all of the Santa Teresa and Nosada guys and whatever are moving to Coyote. Like, there's so many people just going to Coyote. So I'm like, okay, at some point, the wave of people that love to follow the Costa Ricans, which happens in a lot of the beach towns, it's going to go to Coyote.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be that Costa de Oro, Coyote, even like closer to Santa Teresa, Manzanillo, which is really, it's the same effect. Manzanillo is very similar to Ostional and Nosada or Guiones. All the people is that way. People is looking for more peace. So I think it's gonna have the same effect for those areas. But I think 20 years from now, it's I think everything is gonna be growing.
Well, let's focus on Avianas and Grande. Where do you think the gap in the market is at the moment? What's not there? I mean, what are people just looking for that you just don't have?
Well, I'll say in both places, I think there's a, even though there's a few options, well, I'll tell you what, there's a few for the Avellanas area, there a few of these developments are coming with commercial spaces.
Yep.
So it's a commercial space plus the houses on the back. So, you know, those spaces are going to be taken and definitely services are needed. So anything, really. Right now, I can tell you what's coming. There's a spa coming to Avellanas. There's a cafeteria coming to Avellanas. There's architects and construction company coming to Avellanas. But, you know, what's missing? Doctors, dentists, you know, all kinds of services. And I'll say, you know, even property management companies, you know, I wouldn't say there isn't one
in the area, right? Really? I mean, they're in Hacienda Pinir or they're in Tamarindo.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's definitely room for business in there. And I'll say the same for Grande, because very interestingly, Grande has a lot of people, but now you have Onda, you have I was about to say surfboard. What's
Ripjack?
That?
Well, sorry, are you talking Ripjack, Pots and Bowls, you know, Huerta?
Pots and Bowls, La Huerta, and I think people need a little.
I agree.
Not enough.
Yeah. The problem is,
so I think people,
water, no commercial water letters are going to be given. You know.
Exactly. So, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So but you have a gym. True. I think Avellanas could use a gym, which is really cool.
Yep.
I think Grande did it really well in terms of that. But I think if there could be like a, even like a fruit stand or like a really nice bakery, you know, stuff like that is things that are missing. And maybe maybe if not in Playa Grande, but close enough. You know, it could be because Ventanas is growing a lot.
Yeah, it could
you
be
know,
out,
and that's
out there by Wilmar.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So, yeah.
I mean, I think that that always comes second. I mean, no one's willing to put the commercial in and then with the residential, unless it's the developer that comes in and does it all, you know. So I agree.
Exactly.
I mean, residential has to be there in order for the commercial, but it's kind of a catch 22 because residential needs commercial, but commercial needs residential, but the residential really needs to come first.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, in order for me to think about investing into a business, I need to see people buying in
Correct.
My business, right? So
yeah.
It comes hand in hand, but definitely development in terms of people coming to the area, they need to come first.
Yeah. Okay. This has been great, Andreas. I mean, I always love chatting this stuff with you just because you're all over the place like I am. But my last question for you, I mean, if you had $500,000, you inherited $500,000 and had to invest it into a business or real estate in Costa Rica, what would you do with it and why?
Well, definitely, and that's my area of expertise, but definitely real estate.
Yep.
For me, real estate, I mean, interestingly enough, with $500,000 right now, we're lacking some, there's a gap in there of even, you know, the somebody could hit and, but, you know, you can find some good deals still. But yeah, I'll definitely stay on the real estate part. I'm more than into flipping. I love renting. I just love passive income. I think just having the properties, renting, giving the services and everything that comes with it, you know, even offering your own concierge service. That's extra money that comes in as part of having your own houses on the, and I'll say also, what's really missing and be interesting is finding not that expensive land and having building some sort of apartments or something for long-term renters.
Yep.
That's a easy passive income, easy contracts. You get that money every month and then you're done. So yeah, I'll stick with the real estate. That's my area of expertise. That's what I really like. That's what the area, in my opinion, kind of like pushes you into. And I've had really amazing results in my experience.
Would you do Avianas or would you do Grande? Well, Nosaria for 500,000, I don't think you get much for, right? So
not really. I mean, in Nosara with 500,000, I don't think you can buy anything really. Not in the center, not in Yones.
No, but I mean,
no, in
yeah. Well, I mean, would you be looking at land in Avianas for like 200,000 and then maybe $300,000 build on it somehow?
Definitely. I'll say probably, you know what? There's a few interesting options. You can look into what you just mentioned. There's a few things that are like around 200,000, just lots.
Yep.
Interesting enough, it closer to the town of Pinillas expanding as well.
Yep.
So it's not in Avellanas yet, but you're close enough.
Yep.
And there's really cool developments coming up in there. You can find a 1,000 square meter lot for $85,000.
Yeah.
And those have been selling like easy. They go fast and you can build, you know, pretty much a house, flip it for, you know, something in those ranges. Let's say you can get a lot for 80 grand, build a house with 150, 200, put it in the market for 450, stay under 500,000.
Yep.
Easy.
Yep.
Or build apartments or whatnot. So very interestingly enough, there has been development in between Tamarindo and Avellanas, not necessarily that close to the beach, and there's demand for it and people love it. And but honestly, people don't have anywhere to live anymore. So as long as you build something nice, your return is gonna be really good. I have a couple of long-term rentals in Avellanas, and I'm pretty surprised with the returns.
Wow. I mean, what returns do you think someone could get for a long-term rental? I mean, if they're in it, you know, I mean, as you said there, let's say they build for 200, they're in it for 80 for the land, you know, so say they're all in at like 250 just for, you know, giggles. I mean, what do you think
I mean,
they would rent at?
I think, to be honest with you, the way you structure the if you're going to flip it or if you're going to do rentals, I think the structuring should be differently. I think if you're aiming to do long-term rentals in a 1,000 square meter lot, you can probably fit two, maybe three really tight homes with a little pool in the center, and each house can bring you what, $1,000 a month? Right? Yeah, that's $3,000 a month. Pretty easy. Now, I wouldn't say that area that I just mentioned is good, that good for vacation rentals. Now, if you get closer to Tamarindo, I'm sorry, to Avellanas, let's say, because Tamarindo is a whole different thing, you know, everything rents amazing. So I'll say that the return right now for houses in Tamarindo, Hacienda Pinilla, is a little bit lower because the reselling price are really high right now. But I'll say anywhere like between 7-8% right now.
That's still pretty good. I mean, it still beats, inflation, and it's a diversification outside of the market.
Yes, definitely. I tell you that the cheaper you buy the land, the more involved you are in the process, and the more involved you are in the day-to-day renting management, that's gonna be directly reflected in your return. So I've seen, I can talk from my experience, the numbers on my properties are significantly higher than what I just mentioned. But I'm involved from A to Z. You know, I'm involved from the acquiring of the land, the construction, the management, everything. So same as you, we can see significantly higher returns than what I just mentioned. Now, this is for somebody who wants it easy, wants a lifestyle, and wants to have a property management company taking care of everything, make it really easy for them. That's what can be expected.
Well, cool, man. I really appreciate you taking time to come on the podcast again and share your knowledge and information. And I'll put all of your contact details in the description down below for anyone that wants to reach out to you. But really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your time. I love, these conversations. I think they're great, and I can learn from you a lot as well. So thank you for having me, and yeah, whatever you need, and you can just let me know.
Cool, man. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed that podcast there with Andres Murillo. As you can see, he's kind of all over the place up there in Guanacaste. Great guy, and actually builds himself and has rentals himself. So it's always nice when people, eat their own food though, as well as they're up there. So I mean, look, I love to get Andres on just because he's a surfer, and is kind of very, has a lot of fingers and a lot of pies up there. So I mean, it still appears to be Grande's going very strong, as we know. And Avellanas, a lot of new product coming online. I mean, I think if you're going to take a short-term punt, you're going to probably want to stick to Tamarindo, Grande, Flamingo areas. I think if you're looking more longer term out, 5 years, maybe a little bit more, Avellanas could work. And if you want to go further than that, you basically keep heading south. You head north of Nosada, south of Avellanas, and all those beach towns there. It's just, here in Costa Rica, things don't move as fast as and develop as quick because financing not readily available. The water infrastructure is typically provided by private individuals, not by the public here. Developers have to kind of come along and put that infrastructure in place, so it takes a little bit longer. But anyway, we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Again, if you've enjoyed it, guys, you can sign up to our newsletter on our website. You can email us for anything that you need here in Costa Rica, guys. We spend a lot of time going out with clients and really educating them on investing here and making sure they're making the right move, both, whether that's short term, long term, and just understanding their lifestyle as well. Sometimes that has a big part to play in, where you actually go, and just making sure that you have the right community that you're investing in. So you can reach out to us, info@investingcostarica.com. That's info@investingcostarica.com. You can also go to the website, investingcostarica.com, book a free consultation there with one of the guys in the office or even myself. But yeah, we'd love to chat with you guys. As I said, we got 15 minutes for everyone. But yeah, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please give us a thumbs up, 5 stars, write us a review, and appreciate everyone that listens. Have a great one. Bye.
The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.